Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. It's been a little while since we've been in Colossians, and in just turning back and reading where we were and reading where we're going, I read verses 9 and 10 again, and we're not going to do it, but it made me want to just start over and look at those again. Colossians 2, verse 9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." This morning, we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. And I'll go ahead and tell you that I've titled this Bible study, Circumcision and Baptism. I want us to have a Sunday school lesson. I pray the Lord might teach us something about circumcision and baptism. I want us to see how similar they are in their reason for being given to us. I want us to see what they represent. I want us to see what they don't represent. And I want us to see what the Scripture has to say about them. Now, the last word in verse 8 tells us that this is all speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very last word in verse 8 is Christ. Verse 9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Verse 10 says, "And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Verse 11 says, "In whom?" In the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all in him. In whom? Verse 11 says, "In whom also ye are circumcised." In Christ, you are circumcised. And I know that naturally speaking, this applies to men. But he is speaking of all saints here. He is speaking of all the saints. And verse 11 says, "In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." That ought to tell us something right there. Verse 12, he says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." He just explained circumcision and baptism. Circumcision was given to God's people in the Old Testament. It was a symbol. It was a token in the Old Testament. Baptism was given to God's people in the New Testament. And what is said about circumcision? That was declared all through the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, some things were said about it. And what was said about circumcision applies to baptism. We're going to learn something about baptism through what is said about circumcision. And he said, "In Christ, you are circumcised with a circumcision that is not made by the flesh." It does not, what he's talking about is not pertaining to the flesh. And he said, "In Christ, you are baptized." You are. Not you will be. You are baptized with a baptism that is not made by the flesh. It does not pertain to the it doesn't pertain to the flesh. It does not pertain to the flesh. So what he's saying here is, stop thinking about the flesh and start thinking about Christ. That's what he's saying right here. Stop thinking about the flesh and start thinking about Christ. Stop thinking about our physical condition in our bodies and start thinking about our spiritual condition in Him. Now, let me show you an example of this. All right, turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, a Pharisee named Nicodemus came to the Lord to ask him some questions. Verse 3, John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus is thinking of his physical condition in his body. And that's what men and women do with baptism. That's what men and women do with baptism. People are not really concerned about circumcision anymore. Nobody is religiously speaking. Nobody is concerned. Nobody even thinks about that anymore. Baptism is the New Testament token ordinance that was given. But that's what men and women do with baptism. They associate it with the physical condition of their body. At this moment right here, Nicodemus is confused because he's trying to rationalize the spiritual things of God in his physical body, and that can't be done. That cannot be done. And our Lord told him that in verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He said, I'm not talking about your physical body. I'm talking about your spiritual soul. Verse 6, he said, That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Set it over there. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The physical flesh of man does not accomplish the spiritual work of God. And I'm going to repeat that statement. The physical flesh of man does not accomplish the spiritual work of God. Circumcision was given to Abraham back in Genesis 17. It was a token of a promise that God made for a work that God would do. God said, Abraham, this is what he told him, I choose you and your children to be my people. Not all of your children, but all of your children who I give like precious faith to. And all who are not your physical children, who I give like precious faith to, Jew and Gentile. Thank God. Aren't you so glad that all the promises of God are not contained in the borders of the country Israel? Aren't you so glad for that? Jew or Gentile, he said, circumcision is a sign that I choose you to save you and to redeem you for my own. That's a sign. Circumcision is a sign that God has a particular people. The sign was not the salvation. The salvation was the salvation. The sign was the sign. That which was flesh was flesh. That which was spirit was the salvation. Not the deeds of man, but the deeds of God. And that's what Paul meant when he said in our text, you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, without the hands of man. Salvation is a spiritual operation. Operation. It's a spiritual operation, not a physical operation. But God gave us a physical token for us to see and to remember and to better understand this spiritual operation that He has performed on His people. And the spiritual operation is this. If we want to know what it is, it's this. The token represents this. Why did He give circumcision? This act of circumcision. Why that? Why that? Here's the reason why. Our sins have separated us from God. Our sins have cut us off from the life of God. And because of that, in order for God's people to be brought back in, Christ had to be cut off in their place. In the physical task, in the physical operation of circumcision, something is cut off. Isaiah 53 says, He, Christ, was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. That's what circumcision, if I can say it right, represents. That's what it represents. A particular people who Christ would be cut off for. Baptism is a token. It is a symbol of us being cut off and getting what we deserve in Him. Baptism shows us how God could justly and rightly cut Christ off. You know, He cried, "Why have you forsaken me?" How could God justly and rightly forsake a spotless, holy, innocent man? It's only because we were in Him. That's the only way. How can sinners be saved? Well, how could Christ be forsaken? That's what we say. How could you save a sinner like me? A greater question is, how could you forsake a man like that? Here's how. We were in Him. Our sin was in Him. We got what we deserved in Him. We were judged in Him. We were condemned in Him. We died in Him. We were put that man 6 feet under the ground. We were buried in Him. Thank God we arose in Him. He was cut off for our sake. We are accepted for His sake. Now that's what Christ did for us. That's what He did. That's done. That is the operation that God has already performed for us. That operation has already happened. It's over. It is finished. It is complete. And the tokens that God has given to us, they are just tokens to remind us that the operation is over. The tokens are not part of the operation. They are just reminders, and we don't hold to the tokens. We hold to the great physician. We hold to the great substitute, the one who the tokens point us to, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, let me prove what I'm saying with the Word, all right? I want to see and prove that we're not clinging to the tokens. We're clinging to the Christ of the tokens. So turn with me to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." Now that is the common error of false religion. Adding something to the work of Christ. That is the error. That's the error of false religion. Adding something to the work of Christ. They came and they said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Verse 2, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles." Now, circumcision was given to the Jews. That was a token given to the Jews, spiritual Israel. All right, so the Gentiles were not born. The law was not the eighth day, circumcised on the eighth. That wasn't given to the Gentiles. "But Paul and Barnabas came declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren." Verse 4, "And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us." What he's saying is, we preached it and they believed it. When the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, comes to a person, he brings faith, he points them to Christ, and they believe on him. And they cast their all on him. Verse 9 says, "And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." We all believe the same thing. We're all hoping in the same thing. Verse 10. "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" Why are you telling them that now they have to keep the law in order to be saved, when you know good and well we don't keep the law and our fathers didn't keep the law? Verse 11, I love this verse. He said, "But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And that was that. Salvation is not by any work of man's flesh. Salvation is by the work of Christ's flesh alone. Timothy, whose father was a Gentile, Timothy's mother was a Jew, and grandmother was a Jew, and his father was a Gentile, and therefore he was not born under the circumcised on the eighth day law, and came to know the truth, and Paul was going to take him to preach the truth, and in obedience to the ordinance, and to remove all hindrance. He was going to preach to the Jews. He was circumcised, and they went on their way. This situation right here happened to a young man named Titus. And they were saying, if you're not circumcised, not only are you not saved, you can't. Not only can you not preach, you're not even saved. Paul said, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. It is not salvation. We're not doing it. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ alone. The choice of the Father, the death of the Son, the calling of the Spirit. This is what Paul right there in that same chapter went on to say. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, Christ died in vain. And our Lord Jesus Christ did not die in vain. When he died, he saved his people. And the token is just an acknowledgement of that. This is what Romans 4 tells us. I was going to have you turn to some of these places, but it gets a little tedious. You can look it up yourself. But Romans 4 tells us that Abraham already had the promise of God. And his seed already had the promise of God to them before any of them were ever even circumcised. They had God's word. They had God's promise. Who cannot lie. Paul told the Philippians, I was circumcised the eighth day. And he went on to say, I count it all dung. And here's the reason why. He said, I was trusting in it for my salvation. And that's where we go wrong. Galatians 5 says, if you put your trust in circumcision, it will profit you nothing. And that's how it is with baptism. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, as 1 Peter 3 words it. That's not what it is. A man came to Brother Tom Harding one time, knocked on the door of the church. He was there studying. Tom opened the door. He said, I want you to baptize me right now. And Tom said, well, you know, I don't even know you and haven't talked to you. He said, I want you to baptize me in that river right there. Tom said, well, we have a baptistry. He said, no, I want it to be in the river. He said, I want you to baptize me, and I want the flow of the river to wash my sins downstream. Tom said, I think you better just come hear a message first. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Tap water doesn't save us. Tap water doesn't save us. It's the Lord of glory that saves us. The one that we have been immersed into by the Holy Spirit. The word baptism means immersion. That's what it means. And it is the blood that poured out of Emmanuel's veins that has completely covered us. We are immersed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You are. That's what he's saying. You are immersed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what saves us. And baptism is the beautiful, wonderful, glorious, loving, sweet, special picture of that. After being very, very careful to explain what baptism is not, I want to be very, very careful to explain what it is. Baptism is such a precious token of our salvation. It is such a precious token of our salvation. The Lord of glory entered into it himself. You know, whenever we establish the truth of this and we tear down the false idols that men have built these things up and they start worshiping the ordinance rather than the Christ who gave it and endured it. We tear all that down, but it sounds like we're shunning. It sounds like we're looking down on. No, not at all. It is so precious. The Lord of glory entered into it himself. And we gladly enter into it. I'm so glad that the Lord has called me to preach and has allowed me to go into the water with saints who want to confess the Lord in baptism. Because if I could, I'd confess him every day. The Lord didn't tell us to, and that's why we don't. But I would confess him every day. It's an ordinance that he gave for us to physically, you know, our Lord knows what he's done for us. And he reveals to us what he's done for us. And we acknowledge it to him, but we acknowledge it to each other. We're acknowledging to everybody his love for us. Look at what he did. Look at what he endured. We're acknowledging his life, not mine. We're acknowledging his death, thank God, not mine. We're acknowledging everything that he endured to save us, and it is a precious ordinance. It is such a precious ordinance. And it's one that all of God's people thank him for. In the same way that our Lord said when you partake of the Lord's table, you are showing the Lord's death till he comes. It's the same with baptism. We are showing. Thank God we were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. As we died in him, he lives in us. And the life which we now live in the flesh, we live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So that hopefully will explain our text in Colossians 2. Let's just read it one more time in closing. Go back to Colossians 2. Verse 11 says, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. When we observe that ordinance of baptism, what we are saying is, thank God. That's what we're saying. Thank God. If a person wants to know, what am I saying in that? This is what we're saying. Thank God. We're not saying, I have decided to save myself. We're not saying, I have decided to let him save me. What we're saying is, thank God. Thank God for the saving work of grace that he's already done and freely given to us. Our Lord gave us a wonderful way to show that and say that, and we thank him for it, don't we? All right, you're dismissed.